Today, as we're celebrating mothers, I thought I would mention a few ladies that are not well known in Scripture, a few of them that stood together. There are so many ladies in Scripture that we don't even know the names of, but we do for these young ladies. These ladies are named, and for very good reason. These ladies are part of the Exodus group, those that came, were out in the wilderness before they got to the promised land. You know, the people of Israel were in slavery, and Moses led them out, and God had them wander around for 40 years. And in those 40 years, the first generation that came in passed away. And yet, they and their children held on to a giant hope, a great promise, that God would bring his people back into the land that they had had before, and that they would take over what we call the promised land. That promised land was divided up and sectioned into pieces so that every tribe of Israel would get a part. One thing that kind of gets overseen and overlooked, and people kind of don't put the pieces together sometimes, is that there is a couple of tribes that are not actually sons of Jacob. There's Ephraim and Manasseh. And we often don't put the dots together as to why those two have such odd names. The reason is because those are the two sons of Joseph. Notice that Joseph is never named within the list of 12 tribes because Manasseh and Ephraim are his two sons, and they inherit each an equal portion to the others for reasons I won't get into. Today we'll be talking about these ladies who are part of the Manasseh tribe. And something difficult happens to them before they reach the promised land. So these ladies, in their difficulty, make a request. You see, their father dies before they get to the promised land. And for reasons for the request, we'll explain in a moment. Let's pray as we get into the Word of God today. Lord, as we take a look at this example of these ladies, we pray, Lord, that they would give us a model and example of things that we can do in our own lives, that they might serve as an example of how we might have faith, how we might have a life of prayer, but also a life of trust. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to your word today. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Numbers chapter 27 is where we'll start out. Verses 1 through 4 describe the lady's request. Here's how it reads. The daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonging to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcan, Tirzah. They came forward and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders of the leaders in the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from the clan because he had no sons? Give us property among our father's relatives." The law had already been given from God, given to Moses, that the inheritance was to pass from father to son. And so whenever a father would die, whenever the parents would die, the land and the wealth would be inherited and divided among the sons. Exactly why we have 12 tribes of Israel, because they shared in the inheritance of their father. But these five young ladies have a very difficult situation on their hands. Their father has died. He's dead. And as the ladies say, he died for his own sin, not because he participated in Korah's rebellion. Korah's rebellion was a group of people who stood up and opposed God's plan and God's leadership and opposed Moses. And as a result, God punished them for their lack of following his word and leaders. And then as a result of that, they died and they lost all of their inheritance. Everything that they stood to claim when they got into the land was gone because of their rebellion against the Lord. The daughters are saying, our dad died, but not that way, not because of a sin where he rebelled against the Lord in that way. But they said, he had no sons. There was no one for him to pass his inheritance to. These ladies had to stand up for an injustice. You see, he died for just normal, everyday sort of sins, the same sort of sins everybody dies for. Just like the other people who were passing on inheritance to their sons and their children. It would have been an injustice for his name to have been blotted out from the record of Israel. It would have been an injustice for him to not have an inheritance to pass on to his descendants and his name disappear. In Christian circles, different than Judaism, we talk about our names being written in the book of life. That there is a record of our salvation in heaven so that we have an inheritance there waiting for us. In Israel, they conceived of it just a little bit differently. And it was as if this man's name was wiped off, had been wiped away. It was an injustice to have his name blotted out as if he had been a rebeller against God, like Korah and his followers. The daughters are seeking to fix the injustice against their father's name. They wanted his name recorded and kept for all of posterity. There is a second injustice as well, and that would be against the daughters themselves. You see, these girls were going to lose all of the promised wealth that had been due to their father. These young ladies, we don't know precisely their age, but we do see their names crop up again in the very final chapter of the book of Numbers. And there we learn that none of these five were married, which gives us the indication that these five were probably pretty young. They may have been in late elementary, sort of middle school, high school age, before they would have been given away and married and had a family. So these five young ladies, who are probably still children, are coming before Moses and the other leadership and asking for a wrong to be made right. The injustice against themselves is that they would have no stake and no claim on any of the land and inheritance of Israel. Whenever there would be a son, even just one, that meant that if the ladies went away and they had trouble in their lives, if their husbands died or their husbands and their family lost everything, that they had a brother that they could come home to, a place where they could reside and live. And since they had no brothers and they had no father, they were homeless. They were hopeless. The injustice that needed to be fixed was that there was no provision for inheritance to flow to daughters. So these ladies, these young women, make their appeal to Moses. They ask for a change in the way that the law was written and the things that were to be done. And so we have, in the next few verses, the Lord's response. Because the Lord was listening to them. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives, and give their father's inheritance to them." These ladies made a prayer petition. They asked for a change. And God agreed. God saw that the way that this was being meted out and the way that this was following was unjust, and it needed to shift. And so he sides with the five girls. He sides with those who were claiming and seeking to fix this wrong that was going on. But God says more than just that it will be fixed for their case. Let's read on in verse 8. "Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, give his inheritance to his daughter." God makes a permanent change to the rules. He amends and changes the law that he had put in place, so that he can make a permanent fix to the injustice that has been spoken of and that these women brought before the Lord. You see, all Israelite women who were in this situation would now benefit from what these five young ladies have done. They stood up and petitioned God for a change, so that justice might be preserved, so that ladies who are the only children of their father might inherit, that their father's names might not be blotted out. These five girls are named not once, not twice, but three times in the Old Testament. Their contribution and their significance of their lives and their request cannot be understated. You see, not only did they go before Moses, not only did they have their petition discussed later in the very last chapter of Numbers, but 10 years after that, as the people have entered the promised land, they have conquered the cities and the nations there, and the land is about to be divided up, the ladies again go to the leadership, this time to Joshua. And they there have made their case and remind him of what the Lord had said before. Joshua chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. "Now Zelophehad's son of Hephar, and son of Gilead, and son of Machir, and son of Manasseh, had no sons but only daughters, whose names were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcan, and Tirzah. They went to Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders, and said, 'The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our relatives.' So Joshua gave them an inheritance with the brothers of their father, according to the Lord's command." These ladies ultimately got exactly what they had requested. God made a change to satisfy and fix an injustice that was going on in their lives. I think we can take away a few points that would be significant for us and our instruction from God's word. I think, first of all, we see from these five ladies a unity and teamwork that we need to be reminded of. These ladies worked together. In every case, all five names are grouped. They go and they make their petitions and requests together. They stood united in order to accomplish a goal that seemed probably way over their heads. That these young women, maybe still children, would go and request from Moses, Moses and the leadership, a change to the law that God had given is a significant thing. Their teamwork, their unity, their working in this together made a huge difference, not only for their own lives, but for thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of women who would be without brothers. Their petition made a change for many, many generations of others who would follow after them. Working together, having teamwork and unity, is something that has to be prized and sought after. Where two or three are gathered together, there the Lord is with them is also. If you agree with one or another about anything, it would be yours. Jesus too reminds us of the importance of being united and working as a team toward a common goal that agrees with God's will. Teamwork and unity is something that ought to bind together the sisters, the children of God, as we work towards God's ends. A second point that I think we need to take away from this, and that is that God edits himself. Isn't that a funny concept? God took the law, gave it to Moses, wrote down and had all of these laws codified and given so that they could be followed. And then when an injustice is raised, God steps in and makes a change. He edits himself so that a wrong can be made right, so that his will and his goodness might shine through. I think what we see here is a fundamental truth that we need to keep to heart. And that is that providence does not make permanence. That providence does not make permanence. You may be facing some struggle, some difficulty, something in your life that is hard to deal with. And it may feel like God has given this to you as your thing that you have to bear forever. But we see that in God's providence, that he can change our circumstances. That the difficulties that you face do not have to be forever. He can mend broken hearts. He can heal broken bodies. He can bring into your life the things that you need that you currently feel you lack. In fact, this is the very truth of the word providence, that God provides. It means that in this moment, things might not be exactly the way we want them. But through prayer and petition, God can provide what you do need. Our prayer lives matter. Our petitions to God and requests to him can change our circumstances and the circumstances of others. Because God works in providence, in providing for us. I'm reminded of Jesus' parable of the persistent widow who was denied justice. She kept going to a judge and trying to get what she needed and wanted, trying to get the things that she deserved. And the judge kept putting her off and putting her away and ignoring her. And yet Jesus says, because she is persistent, because she does not give up asking, the judge will eventually give in. Persistence is something that is a vital part of our prayer lives and of our faith. We trust that God, in his providence, will provide what we need and what we ask for. These ladies show that God listens. And that is our, I think, important point of a take home. That God hears you. These ladies, three times, had to be mentioned in Scripture. One time God gives the promise, the second time there's a little bit of controversy, and the third time they have to remind the leaders of God's word. There is a process. And sometimes it's not easy and it feels like it's got a great start, but then there's trouble that comes along and then you have to push harder. But don't give up. God hears you. He knows what you're feeling and what you're thinking, and he knows your needs before you even ask. He wants to give what you need, but God's timing sometimes is not as fast as we want it to be. Don't give up. God hears you. Say your prayers. Be persistent. Continue to ask God for the very things that you need and desire. God is eager to fix injustice. So bend his ear. Talk to him till he's worn out with your coming. Be persistent. Because he greatly desires to listen to his children and give them what they need. Be like these young ladies. Be like these young women. Make your needs and your concerns and your requests known to God. Because what you cannot accomplish, he can. Let's pray. Lord, we are reminded of your wonderful goodness, the greatness of your power. And Lord, we know that in your timing, you give the things that we need and we desire, and you're providing for so much. Lord, as we think about these women, these daughters, these young ladies, who asked God for something so big to change his own laws, Lord, we know that you will change laws too. That you'll open up the floodgates of mercy and grace. That you'll provide miracles and change the circumstances in which we live. That you can mend broken hearts and fix broken lives. But Lord, you ask that we be persistent in our prayer. Consistent in our faith. So Lord, help us to be faithful. Amen.